Canned Laughter and Coffee with Renee Bernard, women's fiction, romance, and laughter.
I can't believe that worked, because last week I hit the button like 60 billion times and nothing happened. So I seriously just about had a little heart palpitation right there, right then. Okay, so welcome to Canned Laughter and Coffee. I'm Renee Bernard, and tonight on the program, I'm actually kind of jazzed. I have Avon Ellis on.
Hello.
Yay. And everybody, yes, I know, it's a very cool name. So I'm going to spell it for you because I'm nice. So it's Avon, A-V-E-N, Ellis, E-L-L-I-S, AvonEllis.com.
That's correct.
Love. Not extra hyphens and crazy squigglies and,
it's,
you know.
It's straightforward.
I know. Also, I still want to get Renee Bernard, yes, the chick who writes books.com or something like, you know, namely. Stupid. Okay. So that's me. I have to tell you, I am very excited to have you on the show because I love the look of the your books, and I love the humor, and I'm very jealous of what clearly is a very girly and fabulous understanding of contemporary fashion and stuff and all sorts of things that I am too nerdy to really have a good handle on.
No,
so,
no one's too true. Nerdy for fashion.
No, it's true. It's true. Yeah. No,
well, let me hold your
I have
hand.
Tried
let
to subscribe a couple times, and they have said no thank you. So, yeah, they don't allow me to subscribe. I'm not allowed. I'm not
well,
girly enough.
I could totally hold your hand and take you to Nordstrom's, and I could show you the light.
That would be incredible. That would be incredible.
Wouldn't it be fun?
Because I am reading. That would actually be kind of a pretty woman moment for me anyway. I mean, for you. Like a horrible thing. Dragging a Neanderthal woman to the square going, look, what's that? Shiny. Ooh.
They have shoes.
No. No, seriously, I love this. Your books, they just sound fun. I can't wait. But even the Chronicles of the Linkin Park Fashionista,
yes.
I was like, what kind of wallet? I was like, I don't even know what that is. But now I like a Tory Burch. Burke.
Yes.
Well,
Tory Burch.
Aha. So I was like, I don't know what it is, but apparently
and she
yeah,
makes
I want
shoes
one.
And purses, too.
Does she? Oh, it's so
oh, there's all kinds of things. It's fabulous.
See? You're in it. You're in that. That is why I don't write contemporary romance, to be honest. Because, seriously, the pop culture just freaks me out. And I just think, I don't think I can research it enough to get it right. I think I'd get called out.
No, I think my problem is I spend way too much time on, like, places like usmagazine.com and, you know, the little fashion tab and the gossip tab. And, you know, I could never write what you write. History, oh, my gosh. Let me put an outfit on someone any day.
Okay. But you've got the British thread through there, at least in the first book, and even,
yes.
I'm going to say it, Waiting for Prince Harry. You've got the crush on Gordon Ramsay.
I know. Isn't that weird? But he's so attractive. I mean,
he
not
is,
when you first see him, but this, just when he's on TV, either when he's cooking or judging or yelling at people, I don't know. I'm just drawn to the man.
But it's like, why? Because it's like a secret, it's like a guilty pleasure.
Yes.
Watching him, you know, stomp about and stuff. And I don't know if it's, I used to believe it was the cooking thing. I thought, well, it's just sexy that he cooks. But it's like, no. No, just the temper, all of it. There's just something about him. This is very compelling.
I completely agree, but to be totally honest, I do have his cookbooks, not just for his pictures. Like, I don't cut them out and make a little shrine out of them or anything. But
good
I actually cook out of them, and they're good.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yes.
Well, I will say this. I saw him with his wife and children in a show. And was where I totally fell in love with him. Because, you know, he's this badger of a man, right? Yelling at people because they, you know, aren't perfection. And then he goes home and he is a smush bear, a total smush bear with the kids. And his wife, you can tell, just the one look, and he's like putty in
her
hand.
Well, I think the interesting thing about all the shows is that at the end of it, it's always about trying to make someone better and realize their dream or get out of debt. And he does it, you know, it ends up, you kind of get this warm fuzzy from it, or at least I always did, just because I have chronic insomnia, so I'll record these and watch Kitchen Nightmares like at 2 in the morning.
Oh.
And that's my, like, guilty, it's my guilty Gordon time. No one can bother me, it's me and Gordon.
Well,
and we have a good time.
That whole, I have to say, that Food Network, all those saving the restaurants and the draw, I never expected it, but yeah, those are compelling shows where they,
like the one with Robert Irvine?
Yeah.
The Restaurant Impossible, that's a good one.
Except if you had a restaurant, wouldn't you be frustrated to think, you know, yeah, sure, in 72 hours he turns, I mean, is it that easy to turn it around? Because if you're struggling, it's got to be frustrating to have somebody make it look so quick and easy to go from.
I have to tell you, whenever you watch these episodes, for any time I think writing is frustrating, oh no, owning a restaurant has to be, to me, one of the most hardest, most challenging, difficult careers you could ever pursue.
I think it's in the top 10 for stress. I think air traffic control is like number one, and I'm pretty sure that restaurant or food service, it's got to be in the top three.
I would think it has to be. Anything like
cry.
That. Oh, me too.
I would cry nightly. Like, there's no part of that that appeals to me. And the food looks great, sure. But I'm pretty sure you don't get to just sit in your own restaurant and relax and enjoy great food. There seems to be a lot of yelling and a lot of running around.
I read this book about a reporter who spent, like, time studying to write his book and everything. He went to Mario Batali's, one of his restaurants, and worked there from the ground up. And, oh, my gosh, it sounded so horrible. I mean, just the pressure these people are under and the hours and the stress. No, I'll take my imaginary people in my head any day.
Yes, I'm with you. Yes, I will take what appears from the outside looking in as a mental illness. Over.
Doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does. It really, you really feel like, because you'll be like, it's funny when you're sitting here thinking, and I'll be, you know, at my day job, and all of a sudden I'll hear the characters talking in my head. I'm like, oh, I got to write this down real quick. So I'll flip over my smartphone and type some notes or scratch them on a piece of paper, and I'm like, I sound like I'm crazy. I mean, I'm talking about people talking to me during the day while other people are talking to me. It's very weird.
Yeah. Oh, no, and having conversations with them, arguments, getting stuck on something. I had a massage today. I haven't had one in forever, and I'm literally, as I'm attempting to relax and let go, literally having characters in my head, and I'm plotting out stuff, and I'm doing, and it was the most frustrating thing about, because I was like, you're supposed to just zen out and listen to the plunky music and really enjoy, and my brain would not shut off, and I literally had just British men walking through my head, and I was
But that's not a problem.
No, it wasn't completely a problem, but it was distracting. I'm just going to say that. It was distracting. And
well, unless they were,
like,
ugly, evil British men, then that might be bad during a massage.
Yeah. No, this was, Ash is very hot, so he's a, but his book is done. He's just one of those characters that likes to hang out, like my brain is a street corner, and he comes back. It's true. My men never leave. There's a club in my head where they
just hang out.
Go away, I need
space for the new person.
They drink port, they smoke cigars, they're just very sexy, lounging around in this British library in my head, and it's just really very, very fun. That's all I'm going to say about that. But see, now you're scared to hang out with me, because it's like, oh, I thought I was crazy, but oh, she's crazy in a whole nother century. That's wonderful.
Well, but as long as we aren't sharing the same British men in our head, I'm really okay with that.
That is actually okay. And I have to say, the shopping thing sounds really fantastic. You know, like I would be okay with attempting to shop with you, whereas I'm really not a shopper. So I would be one of those people on those fashion save shows that really is phobic about going into those places. So,
no, if you go in with a plan you know what stores you're going to, then, you know, like you set in your mind, like, I'll go in and say, okay, I want to make 3 outfits. I want them to be mixed match. I want them to be for work. Boom. I can go in and get that done within usually an hour or two.
That's a gift. I'm just telling you right now, like, you're saying this, like, that's no big deal. Like, I just do that. I have a plan. I go. I get it. Ba-bum. I'm like, really? Seriously? Because, no, I... Uh-uh. If there's an office supply section or something, I take a wrong turn, and the next thing you know, I'm over in the crafts and something else, and, oh, this is shiny, and, yeah, no, it's a disaster.
No,
a disaster.
Here's what you, if you really want to do it right, you start scoping out a couple stores where you like the line, the look of the clothes, and I only shop from, like, 3 or 4 stores, so I have a look. Like, this is a Wendy outfit, this is an Avon outfit, this is a look.
Okay.
And you want to find a salesperson who you like their style, and you just tell them, I want 3 outfits. Can you give me some suggestions? And I'm yours. Just dress me. And they love to do that, especially if you go during the day, like during the weekday if you can, because they're slow. They will totally do that with you, and they love it.
Wow. This is a whole world. I'm like, huh. Okay, all right, I can see this. So, you know, obviously not at Walmart. I don't think I'm walking up to somebody in Walmart and saying, hi, hey, I like your look, come and dress me, and be like, go away.
No, it's like you go into the store. You find a girl who's, like, really put together, or guy, whatever you want to shop for, and you go and you ask them, can you help me put together a couple looks? And they're really kind of appreciative of it, I think, during the week, because sometimes it's slow. And you're fun. You let them play, and that's what they like to do.
And they don't mind crazy romance authors walking up to them and asking them to help them, you know, put together something like that. Because, you know, we probably liven the whole, we break up their whole work week. That's all I can say. Oh, well, tell me, Connectivity is out now, and it is available for sale right now, people. And it's hilarious. Now, Chicago, are you in Chicago? Because these books are is it one of your favorite places? Or it looks like the books are set sort of in that venue.
Well, the first Connectivity is set partially in Chicago, partially in London. And
ooh.
I actually grew up in Chicago for some of my life, and I went to a Big Ten university, so that area of the country is familiar to me.
Uh-huh.
The second book, Waiting for Prince Harry, takes entirely place in Dallas.
Cool.
So it's not what you think it is by the title, but it's set in Dallas, and that's where I live now. And then I have the Linkin Park book, obviously set in Chicago, Linkin Park area of Chicago. And
that's
I'm working
fun,
on
it. You're not faking this Chicago. You're not just Googling Chicago and trying to get this. You know the actual flavor of that city, and you've got that vibe. So I think that's very cool. And Dallas is fun. If I were going to wait for Prince Harry, I'm not sure I would look for him in Dallas. So I love the look of that book, and it looks really very cool. And I like the humor in it. They just look very fun. And guys, if you haven't discovered Avon Ellis, then you need to just do it right now. Just jump on there, get on the website, order these books. Let's roll. And then everybody can send me fashion tips and help with the shoes and the purses and the which stores to go to, because Clearly, I'm serious. I think authors that write contemporary romance are some of the most innovative and brilliant writers out there. I think it's wonderful.
Well, thank you.
That's a woman who doesn't own any open-toed shoes. So, so I think it's so cool. But that's it, everybody. Thank you. See, it went fast. I told you. Thank
it
you
did.
So much for joining me. And
thank you, Renee. Thank you for having me.
Odd little show. Well, you have to come back. You have to come back, because I want to learn more about all of these books as they go, as they unroll. And I want to hear more about the world and Prince Harry and all of it. See, it goes too quick. Okay, everybody, thank you so much. And, hey, everybody, please stay safe out there in the big wide world. And we will see you next week for more canned laughter and coffee. And Avon's gonna come back on the show, because I'm going to bribe her to make her come back.
Absolutely. Right.
Good night, everybody, and have a good one.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.
Okay.